It is great to be with you tonight. I am excited about the opportunity to share God's Word. It's always a privilege to be able to do that from this pulpit or any pulpit. I'm also excited, and this is totally off track, but Drew will appreciate it. I'm also excited about what starts a week from this upcoming Saturday. What starts football, college football. Yes. Won't get into any specifics. Now, I know the University of Memphis starts, a week from Thursday, but just college football starting again. Now, some of you could care less. There are many others that you already have your calendars set for the big games, and that's every game is a big game. And so having lived so many years in Alabama, I can tell you, and as Brother Steve shared a couple of weeks ago, there's probably no other rivalry quite like the Alabama-Auburn rivalry, and especially there's no other game that is a bigger game that is more of a priority than the Iron Bowl. I heard about a man recently, a young man that had always wanted to go to the Iron Bowl, finally saved up his money. He was able to go. He was sitting up in the nosebleed section looking out. The game was getting ready to start, and he just happened to notice that there was a seat, 50-yard line, about 15 rows up. He noticed it. And as the game started, he's watching the game, but then he'd kind of glance over and he'd see that seat again. So he saw it there in the first quarter, and then the second quarter, he's staring at this seat. The third quarter, he is coveting this seat. And finally, with about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, he could not handle it anymore, so he goes down there and makes his way down, sits in the seat. The guy next to him, right there, is an aisle seat. He looks at the young man, the older man, looked at him, and he said, "You know that's not your seat." He said, "Yes, sir, I know, but nobody was sitting here, so I just thought I'd come." The guy kind of smiled at him. He watched another play go on, turned around to him, and he said, "You know whose seat this was, don't you?" And he said, "No, sir." He said, "This was my wife's seat." And the guy just gets kind of still, but the older man told him, said, "But she died." Oh, the guy looked at him and said, "I'm so sorry. Could you not get any of your children or your friends or somebody to come?" He said, "No, they all went to the funeral." Now, Sam's been to the Iron Bowl. He knows there are priorities in life, and you just really have to work your way around the priorities of life. Well, tonight I want us to look at abiding in Jesus, the priority in life. John 15, abiding in Jesus, the priority in life. John 15, verse 1, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Tonight I want us to look at, real quickly, three truths, and that is the priority, the promise, and the proof of abiding. First of all, the priority of abiding. There in verse 4, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." Now, in verse 1, Jesus has already said, "I am the true vine. I am the place that you go to find life." Now, that is in comparison to false vines. Now, there are all types of false places that are advertised out here. Our world does it constantly, saying that if you have the advertisements, you know, all you need for life is a new car. If you have new shoes, if you have new clothes, if you have a vacation home, if you have a boyfriend, if you have a girlfriend, if you have hair, if you have, you know, whatever. There are all kinds of things that are advertised that if you have this, you have life. And Jesus says, "No, I am the true vine." What does it mean to abide? When he says there in verse 4, "Abide in me," it means to live. Now, another way that we see that the picture of that word is even how it's translated, look in John 15, 16, and you'll see this. In John 15, 16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would," here's our word, "remain." It's the same word translated abide up in verses 4 and 5. "So that whatever you may ask the Father, he may give to me." Abiding is a picture of remaining, of living. It is a picture of a fish living and remaining in water. That fish was created to live in water. Everything that it needs, it finds in water. We were created to live in God, to have a union with Him, and to have a communion with Him. And he gives us this picture right here that as a branch, verse 4, cannot bear fruit of itself, so neither can you unless you abide in me. And if I can get Steve Coward to come up here at this time. He has an olive branch here for me. He wants to extend to me for some reason. I'm not sure. This is a branch that I cut off of a crepe myrtle bush yesterday. And if you can see it, which you can pretty clearly, this bush, this little vine, which was cut off one day ago, is in sad shape. I'm just telling you. I mean, it's all shriveled up. The leaves are shriveling up. It used to have blossoms or buds or flowers. I don't know what we call these purple things, but they fall and get all over your car and all over your deck. Have you noticed that? They make a mess. But it is all shriveled up, and that is a picture of what happens to us as a believer when we are not abiding and living in an intimate relationship with God. The union that we have with Christ as a believer, the union is never broken. The communion with Him, the fellowship with Him, that is broken by all types of things. Basically, it's broken by sin. And whether it's sins of commission that we commit, and you can go through the whole alphabet of anger and bitterness and covetousness and discouragement and envy and fear and greed and go on through, or sins of omission, the sins that we commit because we are not getting in the Word and because we are not praying, either way, this is what happens to us apart from being united in Him. Well, what does it look like to abide? You say, "Bill, that's I kind of understand. Can you help me a little bit to make that practical?" Look in verse 7. In verse 7, Jesus said, verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you." Abiding, almost as the song started out, that the 10,000 reasons the sun comes up, And it is I can't remember the rest of the words, but it's a good time to praise, a good time to seek after God, a good time to meet with Him. That is what it means to abide. And practically speaking, there's no better time to begin to experience God than first thing in the morning. It's kind of like if you're living with someone, hopefully you speak to them early in the morning. You know, I try to, on every morning, I try to wake my wife up at the appropriate time, not too early, wake her up with the appropriate time, say, honey, here's a cup of coffee. I don't know whether I just burned that crown or set a good example. I'm not sure what I did. But anyway, we try to get talking early in the morning. And it's the same way. We come to the Lord and we acknowledge Him. We get in His Word and we begin to realize afresh and anew what life is all about. That life is about knowing Him. Life is about serving Him. It's not about how I feel. It's not about how yesterday was. It's not about what I'm facing today. Life is about pleasing Him. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And we begin that day with Him. One of the things that I pray every morning in my quiet time is that I will hear His voice, that I will see His face, and that I will experience His hand. It's not just about going through the motion. It's not just about checking something off. It is about meeting with Him in a very real and a living way. But then it's also, it's not just that. It's walking that out all through the day. All through the day, you're experiencing Him in the morning, and you are walking and living all through the day with Him. If you go through the day and you don't call upon His name and you don't hear Him calling your name, telling you this is the way, walk ye in it, then you are missing out on and not experiencing the fullness of an abiding relationship. Amen. You go through the day and you are walking and you are experiencing Him. You say, Bill, is it really that important? Look in verse 5. Jesus said that I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now just think, let that sink in. He's talking about abiding. He's talking about living in that intimate relationship with Him. He said that my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. He said, but apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, that you would say, well, I don't know about the mill. I mean, I'm going through school. I got a job. I did this and that. There are things just in the in life that you can do. What he's talking about is nothing that has eternal significance, nothing that matters for eternity. In other words, you can get a job and you can get married and you can get a promotion and you can buy a home and you can buy another home and you can have the applause of men. But if you don't live in an abiding relationship with Him, there are two things that apart from me, He said, you can do nothing. Number one, I mean, there are some that in all honesty, you say, Bill, I know what nothing looks like. Now, I don't want to raise my hand, but if you ask me, I am experiencing in many ways a nothing life. I'm not experiencing the power and the presence of God. Bill, I'm not experiencing the power and the presence of God upon my marriage. I don't know if I'm experiencing the power and the presence of God as I walk through the day and I see people and at work and with my neighbors and the things that I am praying about. I don't know if I can say that I am experiencing the power of God. Now, some can see that and grasp that here. But then for others where you say, well, I feel like I'm doing pretty good. Now, in all honesty, I'm not doing all that. I don't know, you know, now I know I ought to, but I don't know if I get up every morning and really meet with God. I don't know if I walk through the day calling upon His name, saying, Lord, I'm going into a business meeting, and God, I need your wisdom. I need your presence. Lord, I find myself getting a little bit grumpy. Lord, and I don't want to live like that. Lord, I find myself a little bit fearful as I go into this thing. God, I don't want to live like that. Some will say, I know I'm supposed to do that, but, you know, in all honesty, I'm not. And that's why he says, if you don't live in this way, you end up standing before God at the judgment seat of Christ, and whew, it all goes up, your life, wood, hay, and stubble. Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bring forth fruit of itself, so neither can you unless you abide in me. In 2004, the University of Southern California Trojans won the national championship. They went 13-0. They had a running back by the name of Reggie Bush, who won the Heisman Trophy as the best player in college football. Wow, sounds pretty good. Except it came out a little bit later that Reggie Bush had been paid some money by a sports agent, which is against NCAA rules. The NCAA started investigating, found out that it was true, and USC forfeited the national championship. Reggie Bush forfeited the Heisman Trophy. Why? He broke the rules. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bring forth fruit of itself, neither can you unless you abide in me. One of our values as a church is intimacy with Jesus, one of our five values. And that's even explained a little bit more. If you see it, it's posted all around here. Pursuing an intimate relationship with Jesus above all. And that is so unbelievably important because that describes really what life is about. That is, when we stand before God, the expression, the fruit, the result of my life in your life will be nothing more and nothing less than an outflowing, a growing out of that intimate time of putting the roots and the very fabric of our life down deep into Him. And we can do all kinds of different things. And, you know, I can sit up here and preach a sermon. People can sing songs. You can teach a class. You can be an usher. You can be a deacon. You can be a staff person. You can go out. We're talking about Bellevue Loves Memphis. You can go out on Bellevue Loves Memphis 16 times a year. I know we only have it 4, but, you know, you can do extra credit. And you can do all types of other things, but if you are not living in an abiding, intimate relationship with Him, you can stand before God and have your whole life go up in smoke, wood, hay, and stubble. It is a priority. Second thing that we see is the promise of abiding, and that is in verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. As you look at life, it's challenging. I mean, you just take our vision frame to love God, to love people, to share Jesus and make disciples. If you don't add anything else to it, that's hard enough. That's challenging enough. What do you do with life? What do you do with this promise? Two things. You memorize it. This is very simple. You memorize it. And you pray it every day. You memorize it and you pray it every day. You go into the day saying, Lord Jesus, you said that you are the vine, I am the branches, and he who abides in you and you in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Lord, it's challenging, but God, I believe you and I take you at your word. Number 3, the proof of abiding. Verse 8. Jesus said, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The proof that you are in this abiding relationship with Jesus is not that you're taking notes tonight, although I commend you for that. It is not what you say, it is what is seen in your life. It is the fruit that comes flowing out of your life. And tonight, real quickly, we look at two types of fruit. First of all is character, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And in all honesty, there are many of us, probably most of us here, that, you know, between how we were born and we're all wired in a certain way and how you were brought up, some of those things were just a part of your life. You were taught to be kind. You were taught to smile at people. You were taught to make up your bed and all these types of things. But the will of God is not just what is natural, but what is supernatural. You take some of these. You take peace. There are some of you that you're just full of peace. Or you're just laid back and you're just a peaceful person. Now, you haven't finished anything since the sixth grade. But you're a peaceful person. Well, you know, praise God for peace, but we need self-control to finish some things. Patience. Others have great patience. And you don't cause any problem for people except maybe depression. If people mention you and paint drying at the same time, that you may need the joy of the Spirit of God that Peter talks about that we have that is inexpressible and full of glory. You can take self-control. Others, we talk about self-control. Get her done is your motto. You get her done. Now, there are bodies left bleeding and bruised all over the place, but you get her done. You might just need a little bit of the love of the Spirit of God. God wants all of the fruit in our life. It's not just one or two or three or four. He wants all of the fruit to be in our life. He wants it for it to completely be there and for it to be consistently there. And that won't happen apart from an abiding relationship with Jesus. Second and last of all, the other fruit that we look at is converts. Romans chapter 1, verse 13, Paul said to the Roman, wrote to the Roman Christians, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far that I may obtain some fruit among you. Also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. Now, he's talking about coming to Rome and God using him in different ways to see people won to Christ, converts. And as you are in an abiding relationship with Jesus, that is something that's going to happen. You are going to be sharing Christ with people. It is the whole thing that is echoed in Matthew or Mark 1:17, where Jesus said, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. If you are not fishing, you are not following. It's that simple. If you are not bearing fruit, and in some ways that is witnessing, and if you witness to enough people, somebody's going to get saved. If you're not seeing that, then you're not in an abiding relationship with Jesus. You're coming to church and doing all kinds of good stuff, but you're not in that abiding, intimate relationship with him. But if we will just do that, if we follow him, if we know him, out of the overflow of our lives, God is going to give you a desire, and God is going to give opportunities, and God is going to give an anointing to see people saved. I was at a gathering recently and was talking to a man, and I talked to him several times before. And he was talking about he was in his 70s, a former member of Bellevue, is a member of another church, a great church now. And as we were just talking about things and the goodness of God and forgiveness and stuff, I just felt impressed. I don't know why to ask him a question I've never asked, I don't think anyone before in my entire life, just this particular way. And I'll call him John. I said, John, I'm just kind of wondering, when were you born again? He looked at me real funny and said, I know that word. I don't know if I can totally explain, what does it mean to be born again? I said, it is, Lord, a little quick wisdom here. How do we explain this? And, you know, you need wisdom. God will give it. I said, it's a lot. It's being born again, being saved, same thing, that when we realize that we're sinners, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, the wages of sin is death, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, it's receiving Christ as the Lord of your life, then we become a new creation in Christ, and we are born again. He was looking at me just really funny, and I said, have you ever received Christ as the Lord of your life? At that point in time, he almost began to shake a little bit. He said, I've never done that. We were in a room full of people. I said, well, I'm not trying to twist your arm, but I'm just wondering. I mean, you can do that right. You can do that in 60 seconds if you want to. I need to do that. And he was really shaken. He was just shaken, just the realization of I've been a church member and I've heard, but I've never prayed and asked Christ to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. We went outside and I had the privilege of leading a 70-something-year-old man who had been in church for decades to Christ. God wants to use us all through the day around people that we know, around people that we don't know. And God will use us if we are abiding in him. I had just a little bit, and I'm not talking about me, I'm not tooting my horn in any shape, form, or fashion, just an inclination. And it's like Pastor always says, the devil's not going to, you know, get you to ask somebody, when were you born again? That wasn't the devil, that wasn't my flesh, it was just the Spirit of God. And they had the privilege to leading him to Christ. If you are following Jesus, if you are abiding in Jesus, you will be bearing fruit. That's what it all comes down to. In between the summer, and I'll conclude with this, in between the summer of my freshman and sophomore years at the University of Memphis, I went home to Nashville, which is where I am from, and had a summer job. I was working at the Nashville Bridge Company, and basically what they were doing at the place where I was at is they made barges, these big steel barges that float up and down the river. And so I ended up, by the end of the summer, had a job as a tacker, which is kind of a welder, but I started off there just sweeping those things out. And they're dirty, it's all dark, it's just, you know, it's pitch dark in there. And these things are huge. You don't realize how huge they are. And so one day I was in the back recesses of one of those barges, and in order to do any work, you had to have a light, one of those work lights. It's got a cage around it, and it's got a hook on it. I don't know what you call it, but it's one of those. So I'm back there. What is it? Shop light. Sounds good. Maybe not. But anyway, I had one of those, and so I was back there and took a little bit of break. And I looked down and I saw a little screw-in bulb that had the globe broken off on it. And so you just have the little base part and then you have the little, you know, the electrical part. I'm getting ahead of myself. And I had a thought. Not a thought through thought, but I had a thought. It's kind of like the old country song. What was I thinking? And you'll understand this in a minute. What was I thinking? I may have had a heat stroke. I don't know. Maybe I can blame it on that. But I wondered. I wonder what this thing without a globe on it, I wonder what that looks like when it is screwed into a light. Have you ever thought that? I'll just tell you, it's not a good thought. I'm going to help you. It's not a good thought. So there were plenty of lights laying around there, and so I, you know, there was one, I unscrewed it. And then I took our somewhat deformed bulb, and some of y'all are going, this is not good, and it's not. And I put it in, and I wasn't thinking. And so I began to turn, and about two or three turns in, wham! I don't know what it feels like to get hit by a grizzly bear, but I can't imagine it being much worse than what I felt right here, 120 volts sitting in a steel barge. Boom! I don't even know what happened. I don't know whether I blacked out for a while. I just know it was not a good experience. Yes, by the grace of God, I did live. You said, Bill, that was electrical stupidity. And I would say, yes, it was. But I also want to say, and I want to say this with all humility, but all truthfulness, there are those here tonight that are living in spiritual stupidity. If you think you can live the life God wants, if you can experience the power of God in your life, when you are living in a life that is cut off from constant intimacy with Christ, this is not the will of God for a Christian. Amen? God's design, God's desire for me and you is that we experience that intimacy with Him and that we grow and that we thrive and that the fruit of the Spirit and converts and those types of things, that is the will of God, and there's no option. And this is really a sermon for the Sunday night group, because you are the people here that you know stuff. I mean, we start talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and you're in Matthew 5. We talk about the suffering servant. You're saying, oh, that's Isaiah 53. We say, turn to Ephesians 10. You're saying that's spiritual warfare. You know all of that. You're the people that are all engaged, but I'm telling you, and I say this partly knowing it from experience, you can know all of the answers, and you can know all the stuff, but if you are not plugged into God on a consistent way, as Dr. Rogers said, you can be straight as a gun barrel and just as empty. The will of God is that abiding in Jesus is the priority of your life. Apart from that, it's nothing. In a moment, we'll have the invitation. Our musicians will come. And the invitation is just real simple. You do whatever it takes as a believer to really get it settled in your heart and life. And it won't be settled just because you heard it. It won't be settled just because you took some notes. It has to become in your heart a priority. So what are you going to do for it to be a priority in your life? Maybe you can just pray in your seat as we do that and say, Lord, I haven't been doing that. I've just been busy. Now, maybe there's some sin. Maybe there's some big sin you need to repent of and to really get right with God. But I would imagine for most of us here tonight, it's just the barrenness of busyness. You're just going through, you're just so busy, so busy, so busy, and you mean to, but Jesus gets left out. Whatever it is that it takes. And I'll also say that if you're here and you're not a believer, you don't say, I don't know for sure if I died, would I spend eternity with heaven? I don't know. We'll have ministers at this aisle that would love to talk to you, that would love to help you. And I would say that you can't live the Christian life unless you're a Christian. It won't happen. So I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, ask our musicians to come, and we'll stand and sing. We can get our ministers to come at this time. Father, very simple words that you gave through John. And Lord, maybe tonight people had all these verses memorized, maybe not. But Lord, it really doesn't matter. Those things don't matter, Lord. What matters is how we are going to live when we leave this place. Father, I pray that your kingdom will come. I pray that your will be done in our lives. Lord, that we might leave this place abiding in you in a new and a fresh way, purposing in our hearts that tomorrow, by the grace of God, we will begin the day abiding with you, and we will do that all through the day. Lord, I pray that your kingdom will come, that your will be done, so that we won't have to stand before you and have our life go up as wood, hay, and stubble.